At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Knowing Wheel, episode 92 and the final episode of 2022. Now, of course, Formula One, we're in the winter shutdown at the moment. There's been no real news this week. Of course, last week we did a recap of all the things that have been going on over recent times. And of course, we also went through and tried to find out our GOAT of Formula One. If you missed out last week's show, I would highly recommend going back and checking it out. But we decided today we do something a bit more fun. You know, it's the final, I was about to say the final race of 2022, but it's the final week of 2022. We thought we'd just do a big quiz from the year. You guys can play along at home, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening on Spotify. You know, if you are watching on YouTube, please do click the link down in the description below as well and check us out on Spotify. It would be greatly, greatly appreciated. But as always, I'm joined by Mr. 183. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good. Yeah, looking forward to this quiz. We haven't conferred of what style questions to go for, so it could be an absolute mess.
No, this is going to go interesting.
But that's what you tune in for.
Exactly. So we've kind of decided the way we wanted to do this was we're going to ask each other 2 questions from each GP, but we're going to take it in turns. So I'm going to do Bahrain, Jamie's going to do Saudi Arabia, I'm going to do Australia, Jamie's going to do Imola, etc, etc. Obviously, so that will give you guys 44 questions to answer. Hashtag blessed, of course. And it will give us 22 to answer each way. Now, we're not going to keep it particularly competitive, are we, Jamie? It's kind of a season recap slash fun little quiz. But yeah, let us know maybe down in the comments below as well how you get on today. So are we ready to just get into this, Jamie?
I think we are. Caveat, I know so little about this season. It's probably my worst season of knowledge since like 2007 or something.
So you reckon
that
I could ask you more questions about F1 2011 and you'd know more than now?
I actually do think so, yeah.
I can't work
next week's quiz.
Next week's quiz, F1 2011 season review. But yeah, like I said, try and keep score at home if you're interested. Let us know how you get on. But let's wind it back then, Jamie. It's the middle of March. It's a cool evening in the desert in Bahrain. I'm going to try and set the tone for you. Qualifying last night, it's the new generation of Formula One cars. Kevin Magnussen, he's starting from, what was it, P6. That's something like that. Haas are back. It's beautiful. But, unfortunately, our first question takes us to his teammate, Mick Schumacher. Now, the start of the Grand Prix was actually fairly clean and tidy, until Schumacher was sent into a spin on just the, fifth corner of the GP. Can you remind me which driver sent him into said spin?
I kind of remember him spinning. What on earth?
Now, a lot of these, I've given Jamie multiple choice, but he's told me he didn't want the option of multiple choice.
I don't want the option. Was it Gasly?
Is that your final answer?
Give me the options.
The options were Pierre Gasly, Fernando Alonso, or Esteban Ocon.
I feel like it was Gasly.
You're going with Gasly.
Yeah.
That's wrong. You're thinking 2021 where he lost his front wing, aren't you?
I know he just gets caught up in a lot of lap pod incidents.
Fair enough. No, it was Esteban Ocon. Bet. If you remember, he took way too much curb going into the fast S section and just went into the side.
I have zero recollection of that, I'll be honest.
It was a fairly forgotten about incident pretty quickly, but it was about the only incident that happened in Bahrain. So Jamie currently, there we go, 0 points so
zero
far.
Zero out of one. We love that.
Of course, late on though, in the Bahrain Grand Prix, controversy struck as both Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez had power unit failures and failed to make it to the checkered flag. But can you name me the other 3 teams that didn't score in Bahrain?
Oh, it was all the Brits, wasn't it? It's definitely Aston Martin.
Correct.
Definitely McLaren.
Correct.
Oh, and Williams.
Correct. Spot on. All 3 of Mercedes customer teams failed to score in the season opener in Bahrain. And there were immediately a lot of questions about had Mercedes bottled it as soon as we went into an engine freeze.
Yeah, yeah. Which appeared not to be the case a few races later. But I mean, it never really got going for some of those teams. But yeah. On to Saudi then. I think 1 out of 2, this is a good start.
Set the tone for
in Saudi Arabia, of course, set the tone. It's a night race. We've still got the pink Alpines rocking the grid. It's the second Saudi Arabian Grand Prix after the absolute chaos that was it in 2021. It's also the sixth night race in a row, all things considered, which is quite forgotten. Also maybe forgotten, Lewis Hamilton was knocked out in Q1 on pure pace for the first time since which race?
Oh, no. I knew you. This is meant to be about 2022, not random obscure stuff from years
ago.
Yeah,
it is about 2022.
2009 Silverstone.
Correct. Wow. It's been etched in your memory, the pain.
I just guessed genuinely. I knew it was 2009 and I thought, I'll go with Silverstone, why not?
Yeah, it was indeed Silverstone 2009.
I will absolutely have that.
Obviously, after Saturday comes Sunday and the race start. But for two drivers, the race start never happened in Saudi Arabia. Which two drivers were they?
So, if I remember correctly, Mick Schumacher, of course, binned it on Saturday. So, did not see the start. Now, mm-hmm. I'll give you guys a bit of context. We were obviously writing down our questions this morning just on a Discord call together, and Jamie took forever. So he said to me to start revising.
Oh, no.
I put one note down before I got bored revising, and I said to him, I think I know what question you're going to ask me. So I can say with a fair amount of confidence, Jamie, and now I'm going to be really worried if I get this wrong, it was Mick Schumacher and Yuki Tsunoda.
Indeed it was.
Fantastic.
Oh, full marks for Matt.
Full
on
marks
question one.
In some of the eggiest questions I've ever heard, but I will absolutely take it. So, yeah, of course, Saudi Arabia, a bit calmer in 2022 than it was the year prior, but Formula One finally made its return to Melbourne as well, just a couple of weekends later. Of course, Melbourne now has been confirmed to be on the F1 grid, or F1 calendar, sorry, even, I should say, until 2037, making it, I think, the longest current deal that any Formula One Grand Prix has gone. But Carlos Sainz binned it on just lap 2 of the 2022 Grand Prix. But Jamie, who was he trying to perform an overtake on?
Oh, so Joe was just behind it, I think. Was it K-Mag?
You've got three options here, if you want them.
Okay, give me the option. I think it was. I'll stick with K-Mag if he's an option. But yeah,
Zhou Guan Yu, Kevin Magnussen, or Mick Schumacher.
I think it was Magnussen.
That is incorrect. It was Mick Schumacher.
Oh, I'm doing awfully.
He then managed to
Why is it
somehow,
always Mick Schumacher?
He then managed to somehow crash in front of Zhou Guan Yu, despite doing the off-roading. But yeah, Zhou Guan Yu was actually in front of them, not behind, during that incident.
Wait, so he overtook Zhou by grasshopping?
Yeah, he was briefly ahead of Zhou, was backwards, yes, is basically what we're saying. Of course, as well, Alex Albon scored Williams' first points of the year back in Melbourne. But which driver scored their second best result of the 2022 season that weekend, finishing P6?
Oh, that... I know Seb did well. Who else? Yeah, it must be Seb. Seb Vettel.
That's incorrect, Jamie.
This is awful.
If you remember, Sebastian Vettel had a nightmare weekend in Australia.
It was the race after. Oh, this is absolutely shambolic.
It was.
It was Danny Ricciardo.
It was Daniel Ricciardo, but it's a shame you locked in Sebastian Vettel, isn't it?
Wow. No one's going to watch any more of this now. I apologise.
You're just raging.
I'm just having an absolute shocker.
Oh, that was quite fun. You should look at my reaction when you said Seb Vettel there.
Yeah, it was the race that was next where Seb Vettel did well in Imola, the GP that you attended.
I did. So I'm going to be really embarrassed.
And got very... very sodden.
I did.
Weekend in Italy. Obviously, the first F1 sprint of the year in Imola, and I think you'll probably get this. Which two drivers came together on lap 1 of the F1 sprint in 2022?
It was, because it was the corner after Tosa, Zhou Guan Yu and Pierre Gasly.
It was indeed. And it was wonderful. A very sad time for fans of either slash both of those drivers.
Exactly.
Such as myself.
Jamie being one of them.
Yes, indeed. The next question about Imola. Another one that you'll be have etched into your brain. Who received a time penalty for an unsafe release into Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes during the Grand Prix?
Have I got multiple choice here?
I can make up two more options.
Please do, because I've kind of got like I've got a couple of names in mind.
Was it Pierre Gasly? Was it Alex Albon? Or was it Esteban Ocon?
So I was actually thinking Yuki Tsunoda, so I'm happy you've given me three options.
Fair play.
Ocon,
fair play.
I think, was too far up the road. Gasly, of course, was way down the order after the incident with Zhou. No, he wasn't way down the order, was he, after Zhou Guanyu? It was Alex Albon, I think.
That is an incorrect answer.
Is it Ocon?
It was Esteban Ocon.
It is Ocon,
indeed.
Damn it.
And then Ocon did get the penalty, but Gasly held Hamilton hostage in, 12?
Was it Gasly? I thought it was Tsunoda that held him back in P12.
No, Tsunoda was winning points. Tsunoda
did do well, didn't he? Yeah. We always forget. Whenever we see an AlphaTauri doing quite well, we just assume it was Pierre rather than Yuki. But of course, yeah, after a very, very soggy Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, Formula One headed to Miami for the first time, of course. It was already a bit of a meme heading into the weekend, the fact we were meant to kind of get this harbour that then they couldn't get permission from the Miami government to build into the middle of a car park. So you had these fake boats on fake water, which was quite interesting. But Lewis Hamilton, of course, didn't get the best start to the Grand Prix in Miami, as he collided with another car down at turn, or another car collided into the back of him, even I should say, in just turn two of the Grand Prix.
Hopefully.
Who was the driver?
I'm going to say it with absolute certainty, so it's even better when I get it wrong. It was Fernando Alonso.
Spot on. It was, in fact,
yes,
Fernando
there we
Alonso.
Go.
Max Verstappen, of course, went on, though, to win the Miami Grand Prix that weekend. But what was unusual about the podium ceremony in Miami?
I have no idea. I always turn off before
you
the podium.
You can't remember the meme from the Miami podium.
It wasn't Shaquille O'Neal who was there. That was
Cota 2 years
what
running.
What was stupid about Miami? I mean, everything was a bit dumb, wasn't
exactly.
It?
You're definitely going to remember this.
Was it like... Oh, it was the NFL helmet,
yes!
Wasn't it?
Yes! Spot on.
Yeah, there we
they
go.
They wore American NFL helmets on the podium, and I don't think any of the drivers really knew what was going on or why they were having to do it.
Lance Stroll would have loved it.
He would have, but we don't see Lance Stroll podiums very often. I'm sure his dad would love him to be a better Formula One driver.
Buy him a better team, then.
Well, exactly. Buy him Ferrari.
That wouldn't help him, actually. Next up, into sort of the forgettable spell of the season, I think, the Spanish Grand Prix, which actually was quite good this year, surprisingly. We saw a bit of tempers flaring on the team radio waves at Red Bull. What was the advice given by GP to Max Verstappen to help open his DRS flap?
Oh, was it hold the button? It was either,
is that your final answer?
It was either hold it or spam it, wasn't it, I think?
Is that your final answer?
I'm going to say hold the button.
The advice was one button press after the curb.
Oh!
On the exit. So incorrect there, sadly. But yeah, Verstappen eventually did go on to win the race. Part of that was on a three-stop strategy where he dropped down the order temporarily to then come back through. One of the overtakes in that spell was on Valtteri Bottas, who was running in a podium position.
Was he?
Until Verstappen passed him at which corner?
I can't remember the corner number, but I know which corner it was.
Well, describe it. Describe it.
So it is the second corner in Sector 3, the right-hand hairpin. He went round the outside, didn't he?
Turn 12,
yeah. I could have probably counted there, but it depends what you count as corners as well. Actually, I could have worked
the
that
corner
out.
That you, the corner you binned it in co-op.
Yes, yeah, all those years ago, back when we did co-op career modes together. I'm actually impressed I'm getting as many of these as I am so far.
You're doing pretty well.
Exactly.
I think that's two wrong so far.
Two wrong so far. I'm doing all right.
Make sure you're keeping score.
Yes, yeah, keep score for us, please. Of course, you know, Sector 3 in Barcelona is often described actually as quite a good test bed for working out who will be quick in the next weekend's Monaco Grand Prix, of course, where downforce is absolutely key. Of course, what was also very, very funny, at least in my personal opinion, from the Monaco Grand Prix, was Conor McGregor was there, and he was backing Haas to win the Grand Prix. He was all about his Haas boys, which goes to show that maybe Conor McGregor, an optimist, I think we can agree to that, but also was basically the kiss of death for Haas that weekend, wasn't it? Both drivers failing to make it to the checkered flag in that GP. But which other driver joined them, Jamie, on the sideline?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Before the Monaco Grand Prix wrapped up.
Oh, I could probably get this.
I can give you 3 options if you'd like.
Hold on a second. I don't think there was... I don't remember there being another crash. I mean, Latifi lost it under safety car into the hairpin, didn't he? I don't think he was out of the race from that, though. Yeah, give me the options.
So, your options are Lance Stroll, Alex Albon, or Nicholas Latifi.
Doesn't massively help, to be honest. Lance Stroll, what was Stroll doing that race? Yeah, I'm just going to be a complete stab in the dark. I'll go for Albon.
Correct.
Oh, wow. It wasn't a crash, was it?
No,
it was
mechanical failure. And Stroll and Latifi both binned it under safety car, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Stroll did as well.
Of course, after the final safety car of the GP, Fernando Alonso did his best Jarno Trulli impression. Of course, they were teammates. Were they teammates many, many years ago, weren't they?
2004,
Held up pretty much the entire field behind him throughout the final few laps of the GP. To within 5 seconds, Jamie, can you tell me the gap between Alonso and Lando Norris and Fernando Alonso come the checkered flag?
This is going to be a complete guess. It was something insane. I would like 45 seconds.
Oh, unlucky.
34
seconds. He was...
That's not to the nearest 5 seconds, is it?
Eh? No, but I was allowing you to be 5 seconds either side.
Okay.
You might have slightly tripped up there because the gap to the winner was about 46 seconds.
Oh, well, I'll take that. That's a good enough
You'll
guess
take that, but you won't get the points for it, I'm afraid.
Exactly. Which one was... Oh, it's Baku next. That was a pretty rubbish race, if I remember rightly. It was certainly a rubbish race for anyone wearing red at that Grand Prix, because Ferrari had a double DNF, both reliability, both separate incidents. It was their first double DNF since when?
Ooh, okay. First double DNF since... I'm trying to think, because they had a pretty good reliability record in 2021.
They did.
Ferrari are often remembered as a team that are absolute memes, but they don't actually get many double DNFs in Formula One. The last one I can think of, because 2020 was actually 2020 Italy, Monza.
Correct.
I was gonna say 2019 Brazil. Yeah, I was gonna say 2019 Brazil, but then I suddenly remembered Monza 2020 was a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Monza 2020 with what Seb had a brake failure and Charles just put it
that
in the
was
wall.
A big crash.
And he probably could have got a podium that race.
Could have, but this is Ferrari.
This is Charles Leclerc we're talking about, so we had to find a barrier. Yeah, another thing that happened in Baku, which fairly forgettable, was AlphaTauri putting gaffer tape on Yuki Tsunoda's rear wing when it split in two, opening DRS. Which letters out of AlphaTauri were missing when his wing split in two?
How is anyone meant to remember that? I mean, I've just got to use process of trying to come up with... So I'm going to say A, because there's quite a lot of A's in AlphaTauri.
No. So the word AlphaTauri was split in two parts.
Oh, so between which two letters?
Yeah.
I'm going to...
So some of the letters were gone.
I'm going to say between T and A.
So the first half, you're saying?
Wait, no, what? I'm going to say between the T and the A in Tauri.
Okay. No.
Is it the A and the U?
Right. The whole of Tauri was gone.
A? You said which two letters?
No, I did. I never said that. Get a replay on that. I said which letters were missing.
Okay. I thought you said between which two letters were missing.
No, I said which letters are missing when its wings split in two.
That's frustrating.
Come on, keep listening.
Sorry. So, of course, after the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, like Jamie said, was pretty unremarkable. To be honest, the Ferrari double DNF and the AlphaTauri rear wing were about the only two things I remember from that GP.
Yeah.
We went over to Canada. Of course, Montreal, Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. You know, qualifying was pretty crazy. Fernando Alonso on the front row of the grid. But Jamie's just mentioned Ferrari had a double DNF in the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. My question is actually related to mechanical failures as well. Which driver was the first to retire from the Canadian Grand Prix?
I swear it was Mick. Mick Schumacher.
You were saying Mick Schumacher.
He certainly was early because everyone was crying when he was in the points. Unless there was a crash earlier. No, go for Mick Schumacher.
That is incorrect.
Oh, who was first?
Sergio Perez had a mechanical failure less than 10 laps in.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Nah, Mick wasn't long after that.
Mick wasn't long after that. It was only about 2 laps later, but everyone forgets about Perez's mechanical failure as well.
When he was going to win the championship after getting, 3 podiums?
Exactly, he was on for it. It was his for the taking. Talking of mechanical issues as well, though, Fernando Alonso, of course, like I mentioned, you know, ran P2 in qualifying, was running really competitive throughout most of the Grand Prix. Sadly, car issues really dogged him, though, late on in the race. Mm. Where did he end up finishing, Jamie?
Is this a trick question? Because he finished 7th, but had a penalty for weaving on Bottas, so actually came 9th.
Fantastic. I'll give you the points there. The answer I was looking for was P9.
There we go.
Well done.
Behind Joe and Bottas.
He did finish behind Joe and Bottas after a penalty. I think it was the final corners of the GP, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. For weaving 5 times on Bottas.
He did weave about 18,000 times. But it's Bottas anyway. Wouldn't have gone for a move.
Yeah, true. What came next? Silverstone. The race of the season. Widely regarded.
I was there.
Another man who was there was Nicholas Latifi. And had his best qualifying of the season, probably of his whole career, probably. Is that true?
Probably. Maybe that's true. I'm pretty certain.
But my question is about the second start after the red flag. What position did Nicholas Latifi start on the grid?
Oh, so obviously he started, if I remember correctly, P9 for the original start. He then got a blinding getaway. I've got P6 in my mind for NL6. I'm going to say it with confidence.
P6.
And I'm going to... It's going to be wrong, but I'm saying P6.
That is wrong.
Aww.
He qualified 10th and then started the second start in 8th.
I thought he made up more
but
places
he did get
than
a good start.
Honestly.
No, it was only 8th. He passed Zhou and whoever was to the left. Russell,
yeah.
And then obviously those two came together quite badly. Now, this question you're going to be a big fan
of.
Okay. I literally had to do quite a bit of research.
Oh, that's always good.
But
it's meant to be a fun
the infamous five-car battle, which won FIA Action of the Year, I believe, between lap 45 and 46. How many pole positions do the 5 drivers have between them?
How is anyone meant to get that?
And you can have options.
So is this at the time of recording?
First.
Or
today, yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's actually changed since...
Since then?
Then, though.
Well, that helps narrow it down a bit.
Who do you think the 5 drivers were for start?
So...
That'll be where you can start there.
Hamilton, Perez, Leclerc...
Oh, it has changed since then.
Yeah, exactly. Because Perez and Leclerc. Alonso and... Was it Ocon or was it Lando Norris?
Who knows?
Well, you can tell
but
me
I'll
that.
I'll give you the
we?
Options.
Okay, give me the options.
It was Lando Norris. Yeah. It was five different cars, which was quite incredible. The options are 121 pole positions, 137 pole positions, or 145 pole positions.
Oh, right. I'm trying to think. So Hamilton's got 103. Lando Norris has got one. So that takes us up to 104. Perez has got one. Takes us up to 105. Charles Leclerc's got 18. Takes us up to 123. I don't believe Alonso ever got that many podiums. That many pole positions, sorry, in Formula 1. He was a much better race driver than a qualifier.
Well, and a low fuel back then meant Toyota's got it.
Toyota did also snag quite a lot of them. I seriously can't be thinking that Alonso's had less F1 poles than Charles Leclerc. But honestly, that seems quite fair. I'm going to go 137.
It was 145. Oh! I think Alonso just has more.
He's
I
got
think,
like
22
or something. Yeah, that was. I couldn't work out. I thought 14 seemed low, but 22 seemed too high. I'm a bit gutted.
Yeah, it's 20,
that.
22 poles in 358.
Oh,
races.
That's not a good record. Get in the bin, mate. Get out of sport. I could do better than that.
So, yes, a lot of pole positions between those drivers.
Yeah, most of them just from one driver, but okay. Of course, funnily enough, JB, we're actually talking about qualifying from the next weekend. We went back to the Styrian Mountains, the second sprint race of the year, and Mercedes had a bit of a nightmare on Friday night, didn't they? Both cars crashing out in qualifying.
Oh, I'd forgotten.
Yeah,
that.
A lot of people had. Lewis Hamilton, of course, made pretty good progress, actually, though, after qualifying to recover to P8 in the sprint race. But where did he finish the Grand Prix on Sunday?
Ooh. It was, well, Leclerc won. Verstappen was second. Perez was taken out by Norris. Sainz was probably doing something stupid. No, he had a fire, didn't he? I think Mercedes were third and fourth, and I'll go for Hamilton in third.
Correct.
There we go. Lovely.
This one as well, you should be able to get quite easily. Who scored their final points of the 2022 season in the Austrian Grand Prix, making them the longest gap for any full-time driver in 2022 between then and now not to score?
That was Michaelis Schumacher.
It was indeed Michaelis Schumacher.
Absolute fraud, get in the bin.
It does kind of say a bit more as to why he got dropped when you think about that Nicholas Latifi has scored points more recently.
And so have loads of other drivers.
And so has every other driver on the grid, yes. And
even
Nick
the
DeVries. Yes.
What was next? Oh, the French Grand Prix. What a fun time that was. This would be difficult for the viewers to get, but I like to think you might have a chance. What was Jamie doing on the same day as the French Grand Prix?
Hey? I don't look at your calendar. What were you...
You will remember
what
this.
Were you doing on the same day as the French Grand Prix? I'm trying to think. It must have been July. I mean, let's be fair, it's you. You're like upper middle class.
I don't do
you
very much.
You were probably on holiday somewhere that your parents paid for.
No, I wasn't.
You actually weren't that not one much. Week of the year. You decided to stay at home.
Not that one weekend, no.
Well, I mean, from what I've gathered from doing this podcast with you this year, you spend most of your time either on holiday or moving house. It's one of the two. I'm going to go with moving house.
That's incorrect. I was actually doing a triathlon.
Oh! Yeah, so, that's the one where it looks you like go. You pooed yourself, isn't it, on Instagram?
No, that was bike grease, which I didn't even notice,
yeah, that's what
which
we all
is a
say.
Problem. Yeah, so I actually had to listen to that race on the radio on the way back. There you go, fun fact.
After you pooed yourself.
That is incorrect. a Twitter user...
Oh, no, don't
Twitter
bring Twitter
user,
into this.
...proved you could do what... in the area of track where Charles Leclerc crashed out from the lead.
Oh, yes, I remember this. I do remember this. Yep, you could land a plane, couldn't you? Someone landed a plane on Microsoft Flight Sim.
Indeed. He landed a plane because someone at the time tweeted, how did Leclerc crash there? You could literally land a plane.
And he put it to the test and he proved it correct.
And he did.
That, tell you what, Jamie, that might be the best question. In this quiz, like just right there and then. Of course, Le Castellet, not on the calendar, is it, in 2023?
Luckily
but
not.
But a track that has been on the calendar for 2023 and has been on the calendar now for, I think, Jamie, if I'm not mistaken, the fifth most of any circuit in Formula One, which is kind of
it's also the second, the second most in a row.
It is the second most in a row. The Hungaroring, it's not really remembered as a sort of classic circuit, is it? Because let's be fair, it's not particularly brilliant. But yeah, the Hungaroring's been around for a very, very long time now. And George Russell swept to his first ever pole position this season at the Hungaroring. But which two drivers were both hit with mechanical issues during Q3 that weekend?
That would have been Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
Spot
both
on.
Of which would have beaten George Russell.
Quite possibly. I think it's fair to say that. So after Verstappen then came through from 10th on the grid on Sunday to take the race victory, including the Dutchman, how many cars finished on the lead lap in Hungary?
I mean, that's going to be a stab in the dark. I kind of remember. I probably can remember. So it was Verstappen, then it was both Mercedes. I think it was Hamilton second, Russell third.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Leclerc was around somewhere on hards for some weird reason.
Because Ferrari.
I think Sainz would have been there, and Perez, and maybe like, yeah. So I think the top six all finished. I'll go for seven on the lead lap.
Absolutely correct.
Wow.
Can you name me the other driver?
Yes. It was probably Alonso or Norris, let's be real. Was it Fernando Alonso?
It was Lando Norris.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
I remember predicting Alonso podium that weekend. So that was
Yeah. Yeah, Lando Norris, 1:10
still beat you.
Behind the Dutchman there after Max Verstappen started in the midfield, got to the front and still lapped 2/3 of the grid, which was kind of just insane.
Indeed, it was. The summer break, of course, was next. Followed by the return, which unfortunately for 2023 isn't the return from the summer break anymore, in Spa, a Grand Prix that I attended, and I hear you might be next year.
I will
year.
Be next year. Or I hope I am. I've got tickets.
No, yeah, there you go. I'm hoping to be at a Grand Prix as well, but they've not actually released the tickets yet, which is a bit bad. Spa, of course, typically is hit by a lot of engine penalties because everyone's like, it's easy to pass, so let's just take loads of pens. Kevin Magnussen was the last position on the grid of people without grid penalties. Which position did he start?
Oh. So I'm trying to think. I know both Red Bulls had penalties. I've got like P12 or P14 in my mind. But now I've said that and I want to ask for what for choice. You're just going to say P12 and P14 as two of the options. So there's no point me doing that. I'm going to say P12.
That is correct. Hey! Well done. Verstappen won the race from P14, and there was Bottas ahead of him with less penalties because he didn't replace everything.
But they did it in a weird way, didn't they, in Alfa Romeo? Because he got 2 5-place penalties rather than being pushed to the 10-place penalty from the back of the grid, wasn't it?
Something daft like that, yeah. Everyone else had back of the grid pens. He only had a 15-place pen.
Which was more than some drivers, but less somehow.
Yeah. Max Verstappen, of course, did start 14th and won the race. On which lap did he take the net lead away from Carlos Sainz?
The net lead or the actual lead?
The actual lead.
Oh, it was really early on, wasn't it? Because I think we'd all kind of... It does make me chuckle when we think back to Belgium, because I remember how many people are having a meltdown on Twitter that Red Bull had definitely done something illegal. Now their car was like a second a lap faster than everyone else. I want to say lap 19. That's kind of the lap I've got in my head, but I don't know whether that was when he pit and still came back out in the lead. Yeah, let's go for it. Lap 19. If it's not that, I'm saying lap 14.
It was lap 18. Oh! So you're very close. I'll give you half a point. Yeah, so he was technically Science Pit first, and then Verstappen took the net, or like the non-effective lead.
Yeah.
But then when Verstappen Pitt came up behind, he ran past him for the real lead on lap 18.
Madness, wasn't it? That Red Bull that weekend was just something else, wasn't it? It was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
However, the next weekend at the Dutch Grand Prix, like I said, everyone was in a meltdown that Red Bull now were completely OP and were going to absolutely dominate the rest of the year. Of course, just a few weekends after, Mattia Binotto said he saw no reason why Ferrari couldn't win every race in the second half of the season. But we went back to Zandvoort, of course, the second race back at the Dutch GP. But on lap two, Jamie, of that Grand Prix, who hit the wall heading into the banked turn two?
Someone hit the wall.
I can give you three options.
Heading into turn the bank. Do you mean turn?
Sorry,
three,
heading out of turn two into the bank corner of turn three.
I don't remember that at all. I didn't watch this race live, which probably doesn't.
Probably not.
Yeah, who were the options?
You've got Nicholas Latifi, Sebastian Vettel, or Kevin Magnussen?
Oh, maybe it was... I think it was Magnussen.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I go for Magnussen.
Spot on. He had a huge oversteer moment through turn two. And
you brushed it, didn't you?
He somehow got away with it. In pretty much any other car, you'd think that would have ripped the suspension off, but the Haskell's made out of steel, I reckon.
Yeah. I do have a slight recollection of that now.
It was one of the only sort of memorable moments from the first half of that Grand Prix.
It was pretty rubbish race.
It was pretty dull until right towards the end. But there was a late race safety car, of course. If you remember, AlphaTauri, of course, rigged that race because it was looking like Hamilton might win. So they forced Yuki Tsunoda to crash and then not tie up his belts or something like that. I love F1 controversy. So a late race safety car was brought out. But who was given an unsafe release on Fernando Alonso during that period, and thus received
a
penalty?
Yes, that isn't.
I can give you three options.
I'm going to be reaching. Yeah, three options. I'll just pick the one who would have been closest.
Lando Norris, Carlos Sainz, or Sergio Perez.
Oh, it was Sainz.
He absolutely was Sainz, because Ferrari botched his stop in pretty much every way possible.
They were being ridiculous, weren't they?
And Sainz had a pretty nothing weekend up to that point, anyway.
Yeah, that's quite funny. On from Zandvoort to the last of that triple header in Monza. And yeah, we had an illness on the grid with Alex Albon with tonsillitis or appendicitis. Sorry. Really badly, actually. So he was replaced by super sub Nyck de Vries, who, as we mentioned earlier, did score points on his debut. The first driver to do so since who?
It was Zhou Guanyu at the start of the year.
Indeed it was. I was hoping you'd forget about that like you did before.
I have forgot about that before, yep. But Zhou Guanyu scored points back in Bahrain. It was a beautiful P10, if I remember correctly.
It was. What a day.
Overtook Lewis Hamilton. Finishes.
He did. He won his first race. Another race. Another Verstappen win from low on the grid. But where on the grid did Verstappen win from in Monza?
So,
I've got options if you want options.
Give me options. I'm not going to ruin myself this time. I've got a number in my head.
Was it P7? Was it P10? Was it P14 on the grid?
So, P10 was Hungary. P14 was Belgium. I did have P10 in my head, but I don't think that was right, because, again, Monza is another circuit where you get quite a lot of grid penalties. Ferrari did look a lot more competitive on Saturday, so I thought they might actually be able to win this one. But I think Verstappen was P7.
Indeed he was, correct.
I will...
P7 on the grid to win.
Yeah, because Verstappen as well, earlier on that year, wasn't he? He was the first driver to win from 10th or lower at back-to-back races since, like, 1961 or something mad like that.
Ridiculous. He also has the third lowest winning position on the current grid.
It does.
Behind Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso.
Yes, absolutely spot on.
Although Alonso's is questionable at
best. Exactly, yeah. Not really legitimate. But funnily enough, we're heading next to the track where that illegitimate win came from. So thank you, Jamie, for that beautiful segue, because I was struggling to come
what
up with
segue?
One. Singapore, of course. You know, it was a pretty chaotic race, wasn't it? Both Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen having issues throughout the weekend. But Aston Martin and McLaren both had fantastic weekends, getting double points finishes. But which team got both cars to the flag but failed to score points?
There weren't many drivers who... Oh, dear. So... Yeah, I didn't watch this race live either.
That became quite a constant theme in the second
half
of the year.
When you work on a Sunday, it's sometimes a bit difficult. Who would it have been? Yeah, I'm thinking either Haas or Williams, or potentially Alfa Romeo. Because I know Alfa didn't score, but I don't remember if...
I can give you three options if you'd like.
Is it going to be those three
teams?
It
wasn't, actually.
Oh, give me options.
Alfa Tauri, Alfa Romeo, or Haas.
I know for certain that Alfa Romeo didn't score. I'm pretty sure Haas didn't score. And Alfa Tauri maybe did. So I'll go for Alfa Romeo.
Incorrect.
Oh, I should have guessed that they had mechanical issues,
yep.
Didn't I?
Who was it? In fact, Haas. Finished 12th and 13th, of course, just ahead of George Russell, who had a bit of a nightmare.
He was awful, wasn't he?
He was. Who finished directly ahead, though, of Max Verstappen in the Singapore Grand Prix?
So Verstappen finished 7th.
He did.
Because it was like his... He had what? His second most common position.
Yes, his second most...
Apart from first.
His second most common... He finished 7th more often than he finished 2nd or 3rd in 2022. Which is kind of mad. But who finished 6th?
I believe it was Lance. Lance Stroll.
You believe absolutely correctly. The three options you would have had were Sebastian Vettel, Lance Stroll, or Daniel Ricciardo. Of course, he got past Vettel on the final lap, and Ricciardo had his best finish of the year in P5.
Indeed. And Stroll also got his best finish of the year in P6. Because every other points finish he got was 10th, I believe, until Abu Dhabi.
I'm pretty certain that is correct, yes.
I'm an absolute Stroll wizard. Right, what's next? Japan? Am I? Yeah, must be.
Pretty certain.
Japanese Grand Prix, the one we all remember getting up ridiculously early for, only to then sit in front of a red flag for 2 hours or so.
I fell asleep and woke up as they were going back out onto the grid. I've never been more impressed with myself in my entire life.
That is incredibly good body clock action right there. You've just got a sense for when F1 is starting.
Oh yeah, it's the engine inside me that roars.
Obviously a curtailed, shorter race than usual. But who got the DHL fastest lap award in Japan?
Oh, because this was not a normal one, was it? Or was it? Did someone box quite late on in the day? Obviously, Charles and Checo had their mad battle. Verstappen dominated throughout a lot of the GP. I feel like it was something really eggy, like one of the Alpines. But I don't believe in a world that Ocon would have been quicker than Alonso, despite the fact he's a far superior driver.
Get him comments. Have him.
I'm going to say Fernando Alonso.
That is incorrect. Oh. It was Zhou Guan Yu.
Was it? Fair play. I would never have got that unless you...
The only reason I asked it.
I did think then for a second, yeah. That'd be the only reason you'd ask
it. The second... Obviously, end of the race with a bit of a farce with the FIA. Wow.
Can Max Verstappen win a world title in a way that isn't a farce?
I'm going to gloss over that comment. obviously, the FIA didn't give out the points at first like they should have done, or maybe they did, and the rules were stupid and all that. So, yeah. Who was being interviewed at the point when Johnny Herbert told Verstappen he was the world champion?
It was... Well, it would have either been Perez or Leclerc, wouldn't it? I think...
It could have been Verstappen.
Eh? What?
It could have been Verstappen.
It could have been Verstappen. I'm pretty certain it was... I say I'm pretty certain, now I'm not really certain at all. I think it was Perez.
It was Sergio Perez. Which I think if they'd have done it during Charles, it would have been...
Yeah, I thought for a second
final
that was too
nail
far.
In the coffin.
even for Formula yeah. 1 to do.
Yes.
But yeah, of course, Max Verstappen was kind of half-crowned world champion in the Japanese Grand Prix. Of course, it then meant that Christian Horner had to do all the radio messages in Kota a couple of weeks later because, you know, Sky's got to get their, you know, intro ready for 2023. This question, I feel like you will be able to get, Jamie, but I'm less sure whether some of the commenters at home will be able to get. Of course, we went to Kota. Verstappen now crowned world champion, like I said. Of course, unfortunately, you know, during the weekend as well, we lost Dietrich Mateschitz, obviously owner of both Red Bull and AlphaTauri's Formula One team. But which driver made an uncharacteristic error and left their car beached quite early on in the US Grand Prix?
Oh, it was Valtteri Bottas.
It was, in fact, Valtteri Bottas. After Alfa Romeo brought big upgrades to Kota, Bottas... Yeah, very, very odd mistake, wasn't it? Don't see that from the Finn.
He was running like 17th.
He wasn't running very well either at that point.
Because Zhou is clear at this start of the season.
Honestly, you could make a fair argument for that. A fair argument might be strong, but you can make an argument for it.
Indeed.
To within 3 laps, Jamie. Of course, Hamilton looking like he might just win the US Grand Prix.
And they didn't defend.
He went up against a car that was much quicker than his own and didn't really stand much of a chance. Within 3 laps, can you tell me when Max Verstappen took the race lead away from Lewis Hamilton?
It was a fair few from the end because we kind of saw it coming. So it's a 56-lap race, I think. Yep. I will just hedge my bets. Wait, so I know it wasn't like the last lap or the second last lap. So the latest it could possibly be in my head is lap 54. So for that reason, I'll go 51 to cover my bases.
Lap 50. So you'll get yourself a point there. Nice use
very
of logic.
Scummy way. Indeed. That was another heartbreaking moment for all the Team LH out there who ended up winless in 2022.
Thanks for the reminder.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The next race, though, is a race where Hamilton has only won, 3 times?
Rubbish. Only won 3 times.
Wait, maybe 4 times even. I can't actually remember. But the Mexican Grand Prix.
I think it's 4.
No.
It's only 2 or 3, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
16, 19, and that's it.
2.
Wow. What
he
a
really
fraud.
Is a fraud.
But his former teammate. The man we just mentioned, Valtteri Bottas, scored his first points finish in Mexico since which race for Valtteri Bottas?
This was... Because it was quite a long wait for Alfa Romeo. I've got Silverstone in my head, but I don't think that's right. I'm going to say... Austria?
Very close. It was, in fact, the Canadian Grand Prix for Valtteri. He went on a massive, pointless
run. A drought, yeah. Not fun.
Yes, he did. The Mexican Grand Prix was also an absolute bore affair. It was the last of Red Bull's winning streak in 2022. How many races in a row did Red Bull win in that streak?
So I'm going to have to count backwards then. So, Mexico, USA, Japan, Singapore, Monza, Zandvoort, Belgium, Hungary, obviously Charles Leclerc won Austria, so it was 8 in a row.
I've got 9 written down, so which one did you miss?
Which one did I miss? How did I miss one?
Maybe I've got it wrong.
I can't have... Which one did I miss, Jamie? I've literally got half the Grand Prix written up here. I can't have forgot one, surely.
So you had...
Mexico
as number one.
USA. Japan. Singapore.
Monza.
Zandvoort.
Netherlands.
Spa.
Belgium.
Hungary.
7.
8. France! Damn it!
There you go. I thought
the
I hadn't
French
got it wrong.
The French Grand Prix is so unforgettable, honestly. That's just genuinely upset me now.
So it was indeed 9 races in a row for Red Bull, and 8 of which were for Max Verstappen, which is very impressive.
It was. Fair play to him. Of course, yeah, that streak came to an end, though, in the Brazilian Grand Prix, where, of course, Mattia Binotto, you know, he hyped up Ferrari, so you'd expect Ferrari would be the ones to win that Grand Prix. But no, it was Mercedes and George Russell that took home the win. Now, I'm actually going to ask my questions in the wrong way around, because I've accidentally segued quite nicely there. Mercedes got their first 1-2 of the year in Brazil to make it the first time three teams have got a 1-2 in a single season since when, Jamie?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I thought you'd like this question. I can give you three options if you'd like.
Wait, no.
But I didn't think you'd want them.
Well, obviously, Mercedes basically have... Well, only... there were six winners last year, but... No, it was not. It was... Wait. McLaren did. I don't think Mercedes did, because Bottas never finished second. And Red Bull. Nah, I'm going to discount 2021.
Okay.
Hopefully it wasn't that. Definitely wasn't 2020.
Yep.
It could potentially could have been 19.
I'm going to stop saying yes or no to these, to be honest. But...
Yeah, potentially could have been 2019, but I don't think... Wait, Ferrari did get a 1-2 in 2019. Who was Verstappen's teammate? No, it definitely wasn't that then. Unless you count AlphaTauri as part of Red Bull, because then it would have been. 2018, Ricciardo only won two races and didn't get any more podiums. So no. 2017,
I'm
no.
I'm just going to sit 16, back and listen to you go through this.
No. It wasn't 16, because only two non-Mercedes winners, and they're both Red Bulls. 15, no. Same again. 14, same again. 13... There's no way Grosjean or Massa got 1-2s for Lotus or Ferrari. 2012 has potential. So loads of winners. Oh, this is hard. This is a good question.
I thought this one would test you quite well.
So you've got Red Bull definitely did 2012. They must have done, surely. Yeah, they did. McLaren... probably did, but I don't think Ferrari or Lotus did. I'll have to go back to 2010, I think, because you had Bahrain, Ferrari got a 1-2, Canada and Turkey, McLaren did, and Red Bull got tons. Yeah, let's go 2010.
Do you want your three options before you answer this?
Sure.
2019, 2012 or 2010?
Red Bull definitely didn't in 2019. Unless you count Gasly in Brazil.
Was he driving a Red Bull?
No. I'll go 2010.
Correct! I honestly thought for a second you'd go 2021 when McLaren were famously the only team to get a 1-2.
Oh, the only one,
they,
of course.
Last year.
Yeah,
no, 2019, of course, Ferrari and Mercedes both did, if I remember correctly. 2012, yeah. Red Bull and McLaren did. And 2010, yes, was Ferrari, McLaren and Red Bull. All three teams managed to bag a 1-2.
If you just go back a few years, my F1 knowledge just
It just gets better and better as we go on, yeah. So, yeah, 2010 was the first time, sorry, the last time even, I should say, that three teams got a 1-2 in a single F1 season before 2022. Now, rather interestingly as well, of course, in the Brazilian Grand Prix, 9 of the top 10 drivers in the championship finished inside the top 10 in Brazil. Of course, it was only Lando Norris after a rather peculiar mechanical failure, wasn't it, in his McLaren car that was the only driver from inside the top 10 overall that didn't get a top 10 in Brazil. Can you name me the driver from 11th downwards in the championship standings that did get a point?
I think it was Bottas again, because he got two in a row in Mexico and Brazil. Yeah, let's go Bottas.
You're wrong.
Oh, no.
He wasn't even on my option of three drivers for you. But now, because you've said that, I'm just going to check to make sure I've not been a moron. I've been a moron, you're right. There were two drivers. No, I'll give you that point. Which other driver?
Wait, who was the other
I'm
one?
I'm trying to work out.
Oh, Stroll.
Yeah, Stroll was the one I had written down. I'm trying to work out which other driver then didn't score that was inside the top 10. was Lando Norris, of course. Which driver finished 10th overall in 2022?
It wasn't Bottas, was it? Oh, no.
It was Bottas.
Was it?
Yeah, Bottas finished 10th overall in 2022.
Oh, it was. Yeah, so you I'm wrong.
Oh, God, I didn't think I got that wrong. That surprised me then.
I'm surprised. How did Bottas finish 10th? That car was trash.
Because he just got loads of points at the start of the year.
True, true. Who finished 11th? Was it Ricciardo who finished
11th? Ricciardo finished 11th overall in 2022. He absolutely did not deserve to finish just four places behind his teammate, despite being basically 100 points back.
Yeah, so there we go.
That takes us all the way to Abu Dhabi, doesn't it?
To Abu Dhabi. And this set of questions is probably my favourite.
Oh, no. I'm not looking forward to this.
Of course, technically not really in Abu Dhabi, but it was filmed in Abu Dhabi and released just recently. The F1 Secret Santa video. How many bees did Nicholas Latifi receive as a gift from Sebastian Vettel?
Oh, it was the amount of Grand Prix they'd done together, wasn't it?
It was.
So Latifi came in 2020. There were 17 Grand Prix in 2020. There was 21 in 2021 and 22 in 2022. But I don't know whether Seb didn't give him bees. I can't believe Seb is the kind of person that wouldn't give him bees for races Seb didn't do.
He took the bees away.
You're not having two there, mate. I had COVID. For some reason, despite the fact those numbers add up to 60, I believe it was in fact 61 bees that Sebastian Vettel gave to Nicholas Latifi.
It was 61 bees.
Did I just get the
so
number
Seb's
of Grand
got his
Prix
numbers
wrong? Yeah.
Maybe, unless you or Seb have got it
Seb,
wrong.
Take three was of your bees back.
It could have been... Was there definitely 21 in 2021? I thought it was 22.
I thought there was only 21 races. There were 22, wasn't there? Because 2022 was meant to have 23 Grand Prix that was more.
Yes.
F1 is so confusing
Very
with these things.
Complicated.
Fair play, Seb. You haven't failed in maths, but you did also not show up to two Grand Prix. So I have two of your bees back.
And this is potentially my favourite question.
Oh, no.
Of the whole thing.
The final question for our 2022 and big quiz.
You have got three options for this.
Wonderful.
And I will read them before you answer. Okay. For what reason did Lewis Hamilton boycott the final three laps of the Grand Prix?
Oh, you're such a tool.
Was it in protest of Michael Massey? Was it because he was losing to Russell in the championship and couldn't blame reliability until this point? Or was it because he didn't want to do donuts with Sebastian Vettel?
Well, technically none of those answers are correct. It was the fact Mercedes is a dog and the W13 needs a special place in hell. It was a mechanical failure, though, so I guess we're saying option two?
The correct answer was all of the above.
You're such a tool.
There you go. I enjoyed writing that
one. I'm sure you did. I can picture Jamie now with a huge grin on his face.
Exactly.
Answering that one.
Exactly.
But honestly, Jamie, I can safely say... I think we were both a tiny bit sceptical going into this, but that was, I think, one of my favourite podcasts we've done throughout the entirety of 2022.
Well.
That was brilliant fun. I feel like we were quite close in the end. If someone has been keeping score, please do let us know down below. But I feel like I actually did myself quite well in that quiz when we normally think that you're like the huge F1 boffin out of the pair, which is kind of saying something there, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
I mean,
but yeah.
I mean, yeah, 2022, I need to do some revision, because clearly
in 15 years, you'll
standard.
Be watching that back for whatever reason. but it is what it is. Let us know, though, out of the 44 questions, how many you got right down in the comments below.
And which was your favourite?
And which was your favourite question, excluding the last one?
Mine was the last one.
Yeah, exactly. But Jamie, again, I just want to say a massive thank you. You know, 2022 has been an interesting year. You know, we've done a lot with No One Wheel. It has been very, very good fun. I feel like we haven't embarrassed ourselves too badly there, have we, with our end of year quiz as well, which is always quite nice. You know, perhaps this will become a yearly thing as well, you know, something you guys can join in with as well back at home. But yeah, like I said, let us know how you got on down below. I want to wish everyone a happy new year and hope you're still having a wonderful holiday season. And yeah, we'll be back next year with the start of Knowing Wheel 2023. Things are hopefully about to get quite spicy.